By now, you should be recognizing these false premises. Anytime he throws out a question like that, you know that the answer is no. Okay? So, in other words, the Torah did not bring death. Did the Torah kill me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good. In other words, sin, using the Torah against me. Because the Torah, you know, defined sin and defined punishment for sin. So sin uses the Torah against me in order that sin might be shown to be sin, which is what the Torah does. And through the revelation that comes through the commandment, might become sinful beyond measure. All right. Now here's the real problem. We know that the Torah is spiritual. So I just want to point out, he's so far what he said the Torah is holy, the Torah is righteous, the Torah is good, and the Torah is spiritual. Four descriptions of the Torah here in Romans 7, a passage which is ordinarily taught to mean that we are dead to the Torah and the Torah has, you know, no role in our lives. We know that the Torah is spiritual. But here's the problem. I am of the flesh. I'm a human being in a human body, sold under sin, a slave to sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want. What does he want to do? Well, what I want to do is righteousness as defined by the Torah. But I do the very thing I hate. What does he hate? Well, he hates sin. He hates breaking the Torah. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the Torah that it is good. And that's what I want. So now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. This passage has always amused me because it's so Dr. Seussy in its construction. It's as if Dr. Seuss could have, you know, written this. Or we could make a children's book about... Yeah, the devil made me do it, yeah. Sin made me do it. It's not me. That's the other funny part about it. I didn't do that. That was sin. It wasn't me. Yeah, that sin just gets a hold of me. Well, it's funny, but it's true. Paul is speaking. He's saying that, you know, he's connecting with his neshama here. And his neshama delights in God's Torah. And his neshama wants to live out righteousness. But his flesh wants to sin. And he's feeling that war inside of him. You know, that civil war that's taking place. And Judaism expresses this in other terms as well. It's the good inclination and the evil inclination. It's sort of a different approach. The good inclination isn't the neshama. The good inclination is just your tendency, the human tendency to make right choices. And the evil inclination is the human tendency to make selfish choices. It's also a way to look at it. In either case, what it is the internal battle. Paul is revealing his the schizophrenia that is every human mind, you know? So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, in my human body. For I have the desire, the spiritual desire, I think Paul's saying it from the neshama, from his spiritual being. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the physical ability to carry it out. And this, to Paul, this is, I don't know even if he's talking about himself or if he's still personifying, like, the human being as Adam, you know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not a relevant point. But for Paul, the way that he sees this, he's identifying with his spiritual core, with the neshama, this godly soul, and in he's saying, and I think he's talking just like in the unredeemed state, even, you know, he's saying, I have this desire, But I, it, you know, because I have this godly soul that's been implanted in me, but it's trapped in this physical body, in the flesh, and the flesh is in charge. And so the flesh thwarts me at every turn. So I have the desire to do what's right, but not the physical ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I, my inner spiritual person, no longer my neshama. It's no longer the true inner me who does it, but sin that dwells within me. So, I find it to be a different law, not the Torah, but a different law at work, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. And this is why, this is to me the one of the clearest indications that he has his mind back in those early chapters of Genesis. Because do you remember the scene where Hashem says to Cain, "Cain, what's going on? Why the long face?" And he says, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you." That's an allusion here where he says, evil lies close at hand. It's the personification of sin. For I delight in the Torah of God in my inner spiritual being. But I see in my physical members, in my physical body, I see another Torah, another law, waging war against the Torah of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my physical members. And that is where we have come back all the way around to our analogy. What law was he talking about in the marriage, the analogy of the married woman? The law of sin. The law of sin by which he is bound to the flesh. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He answers his rhetorical question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's my interpolation here. Through whom I will rise in the resurrection. Because the ultimate rescue doesn't happen until you get to the other side. Until you're no longer in the flesh. Because you're still in the flesh. Even though you're just like, well, I'm no longer in the flesh. And the flesh is dead. Well, yes, that's true. We've taken hold of it. And we're like have the first fruits of this new regeneration. And we have the first taste of all of this that's coming. However, the reality is, sin's still alive and kicking. Even in a believer. Even in a regenerated Christian believer. Even, you know, even in so even in New Testament times, right? You know, sin still is, that schizophrenia is still working there. When will the schizophrenia be gone? When will we be a whole person? Who, you know, one person, one mind, a whole heart. In the resurrection, when God recreates, remakes us. So, the token, down payment on that, of course, is the resurrection of Yeshua. So we see the resurrection of Yeshua. We say we die with him, we'll rise with him. Through whom I will rise in the resurrection. So then, I myself serve the Torah of God with my mind. In other words, I intend to serve the Torah of God. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Any questions? That's the end of Romans 7. It goes on, he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And now we have seen. Here we have a very clear contrast between the Torah of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. The Torah of the Spirit of life is alluding to that passage in Ezekiel where he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So the law of the spirit of life is the law of the Messianic era. It's the law of the, it's the new Torah of the new covenant. It's not a different Torah. It's a different you keeping the Torah. Whereas the law of sin and death is the law that keeps you bound to the flesh and bound to the schizophrenia. Why do you always do what you did not want to do? And why do you not do what you want to? So next week, we, with God's help, God willing, we'll push into chapter 8 and start working on this idea of there is now no condemnation. See where that takes us. Yes?
When it comes to sin, don't we have three principalities working against us? Our flesh, the devil, and the world.
1 John 2.
Luther's small guy.
Well, Luther didn't just make it up. He could have got it out of Scripture.
I'm just trying to think if there might be a few more. Your flesh is the your flesh is the you know, just your human inclination, which includes a very strong and healthy evil inclination and the tendency to make wrong choices, the tendency to do selfish things, tendency to, you know, seek pleasure and avoid pain, even at the cost of the correct moral choice. That's your flesh. And there's, you know, the devil. He knows, you know, he knows his business. What was the other one?
The world.
The world. Culture. Society. Sure. Right, right.
You are citing 1 John 2:16. Everything in the world, I'm using the King James here, I'm reading NIV, but I'm using King James. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the three. This NIV has the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the most thing that he hasn't done. Hasn't does, but not the Father of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a summary. I think there is more.
Yeah, I think so. There's our spouses. Well, I don't know what it is, but I do know that it's really easy to sin. It's not so easy to be righteous. But this is the season of tshuva. This is a season of repentance, so this is the 40 days when we, you know, try to get it in under control. And one of the things that I think in the Romans class that we've learned that we can use as a helpful tool as we address areas of our life that need cleaning up and repentance and so forth through in this season is this concept, this very simple concept of being dead to sin, having died with Christ. And now raised with him to live to God. No longer a slave to the flesh, no longer a husband to the flesh, but a slave to obedience and a husband to Messiah, to produce righteousness instead of wickedness. So if we got nothing else out of all this confusion, that alone is worthwhile.